What I'm going to address, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the incumbency of Shem a little bit, but also something that is going to set the stage for some things that I want to talk about at the feast as well. And it just kind of like lays the groundwork for this and sets the precedence into, and I think, you know, with the pressing issues that are taking place and with some of the information that came to me, I had some phone calls from some brothers that I used to deal with that called me and asked me some questions about some issues, and to kind of warn me about the fact that there are, you know, individuals that we, you know, outside of our group, by the way, that we have to be very, very circumspect about. And this is kind of, and it put some on my heart because I wanted to speak about this quite some time. Because, you know, the Apostle Shaul himself understood this. And if everybody would turn over to Acts 20, I'm going to start there with Apostle Shaul's writings in order to get into this subject tonight. Glasses. And Acts 20, verse 17, we're going to start there. And here's what the Apostle began with. He says that, but from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he summoned the elders of the called out ones. And when they had came to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, and remember this term, because Asia is going to identify some things in Revelations that came to me this week, on the Sabbath. And because there's a lot of questions going around about certain things that Yachanan was given, and concerning the what has been typically brought forth as the errors of the house of Yah, which he was given seven lamps on a six-branch lampstand. And I want to get into this a little bit. I know I won't get into all of it tonight, but I do want to get to at least one part of it to where I can finish up the rest of it. And it's going to identify this work emphatically in Scripture. And I'm going to be moving this more and more and more so everyone can actually see the work and see it from Scripture, from the Holy Writ, and the direction that this work is tending to go, and Yahweh is directing it to go right now. And we're going to see all of the things that are developing now within the nations are clearly in line with this. And like I said, I'm going to get deeper with it when we get together. Probably not in every speech, but probably when we're talking, we can expound upon some of these things. But let me continue on here. And it says, when you know from the first day that I came into Asia, what my way of life has been among you at all season, serving Yahweh with all humility of mind and with many tears and trials which befell me due to the plots of the Yadayim against me, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable for you, but have shown you, having talked you publicly and from the house of Yahweh to house of Yahweh, and testifying both to the Yadayim and to the Greeks, repentance towards Yahweh and faith towards our ruler. I'm going to skip down to verse 23. It says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions await me, but none of these things move me, nor do I esteem my life precious to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And here's the key thing, and this is what I love about what the Apostle Shaul, he said, and the ministry, which I have received from Yahshua Messiah, to proclaim this message of an unmerited pardon of Yahweh. He said, but and now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of Yahweh, will see my face no more. And he saw the end of his course, of his work at that time period. And Yahweh had fully warned him concerning, but that's not for us in the last days, because, you know, even the Apostle Shaul saw our day and saw our work going into the millennium and even into the last part of the 1,000 years to where we enter the 8th day. And this is plainly shown by the prophet Habakkuk. For I never shrink from delivering to you the whole plan of Yahweh. Therefore, be on guard for yourselves. And this is the key right here. And the whole flock, because over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And this flock is just not speaking of the people that Yahweh will bring to participate in this work, but it's also speaking of the flock and the gathering of nations that we will be advising very, very soon here. And to feed the called out ones of Yahweh. And remember this word feed, because this is the key, and it's a point that I want to warn us of, because there are certain people that I know that are going to want to come to be a part of this work. And we all got to be on guard and of the things that are coming, and to be vigilant about it in protecting this work, and to change the ideologies that some have and some belief systems that they have that is only going to hinder the process of the kingdom and never bring about what they have in their heart and desire to do. But we are to be overseers over this flock and over this work, to feed the called out ones of Yahweh, which Yahshua has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves were entering among you, not sparing the flock. Also among your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, he says, and remember that for the period of 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brothers, I commend you to Yahweh and to the law which he has given, which is able to build up the house of Yahweh. And we're going to get into this, because this is a great, great prophecy, and show us and show our work and how the prophet Zechariah saw this. And this is going to build up to some of the things I want to talk about at the feast. And is able to give you an inheritance among all those who are saints, who are the saints who will inherit not only the kingdom, but Yahweh himself. But the key thing that I want to reiterate here is that these grievous wolves, I mean, we talked about them before in one of the other speeches that I gave on this first day night, in regards to how they prey on the servants of Yahweh, the individual who Yahweh has given this authority to bring forth the message of the kingdom of Yahweh, number one, and to actually minister and guard and protect this work. And, you know, but, you know, the old saying is that, you know, one wolf will not attack a prey by himself, you know. And if anyone ever studied the nature or nature in itself, they know when wolves, they always travel in packs, you know, because one is not bold enough to attack the prey who they are preying on by themselves. And this is why the Apostle Shaul described them as grievous wolves. And King David also described them as that those who go around prying the city, that is the city of Yahweh, amongst his, where his government is being reestablished today. And you're going to see this here in a little bit. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. And we're going to start there. This is on page 895 in the book of Yahweh. And it says, now, when I gave this instruction, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when coming together among the called out ones, I hear there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. For I believe there has to be factions among you in order that those who are approved may be plainly evident among you. And this word factions, you know, and when the apostle is there, he's trying to show us something about what is the intentions of these individuals who the apostle then warned for 3 years, the apostle Shaul said, he warned them of these grievous wolves and some that would arise amongst you. And some will come from the outside and you can recognize them very, very evidently. But the ones that rise up amongst in the midst of us are those who you may be familiar with. And we might be familiar with them and know them for years that want to be a part and attach themselves to this work. But we all have an obligation to protect this work. Matter of fact, the covenant that we all signed and agreed upon, that is one of the laws of the covenant that we must guard, not only the house of Yahweh, but to guard and protect this work. Because there are people who want to undermine this work, both outside and in those who will come inside. And Yahweh fully warns us of these that will come. And we can learn from scripture. But notice what the apostle says. And he says this, for I believe that there has to be factions among you. And this word faction means a parting, a party or a group within a government that is often contentious or self-seeking or a self-seeking clique, having a party spirit, you know, the spirit of a party, you know, kind of like what you see in the governments now, you know, with the Republicans and the Democratic parties. And they have these factions within them. And, you know, and it's this clique mentality that these ones believe in. They believe in numbers that they can seize power and control. And this is what we got to be on guard against, even though Yahweh will protect his word. We just got to be vigilant enough to stand up against this evil and not allow what this word faction is trying to impart to us, especially when they are marked by dissensions. That is, this is what they want to cause. They want to cause these dissensions to arise amongst his work in order to dissolve it. And this is being motivated from outside. And I've got this from abroad, from afar as well, that this is the intentions of some to undermine the determination of this work, and which they know that Yahweh is a part of, and they know that the spirit of Yahweh is guiding this work, and they know that it is the work of Yahweh in itself. Most of them do, but then there's some that doubt it. And you know, we can't, you know, you can only keep preaching and keep revealing from scripture. But it takes an individual's own mind and heart to believe what it is that Yahweh is doing in these last days. And as the apostle, not the apostle, but the great prophet Habakkuk says, that this time, this transferring and transition of time, he said, is going to take place. He said, wait for it, for it will surely come. And because the process of this, as I have always said, is that there has to be, in prophecy, the ingredients has to be put together. All the parts of the prophecy has to be, when Yahweh speaks as if though things have already occurred, a lot of people don't realize that all of the detail that leads to bring that about have to take place first. And these are the things that most don't pay attention to. And that's the reason why the Yahshua, in his day, he told his disciples, and he was speaking to this to us, and told us to watch and be sober. And understand, when you see these things that you see in nature, like when you see summer coming, the leaves blossoming on the tree, when there's a change of season, a change of time, these are developing in order for you to recognize that it is summer. It's the same way with prophecy. And the only way is that you have to be watchful and understand. Because the signs of the times are there, and the evidence of where we are and what is going on is actually right before us. But it takes a diligent and vigilant mind to see this, and a believing mind to see it. But he said these will be marked with dissensions, and that we got to surely be aware of them. Turn over to Yekeskel 35. Keska 35. And we're going to get into the meat because I want to talk about something here that Yahweh is warning us of that is going to do twofold things for us tonight that I want to do. It's going to identify a people and the spirit that we have to warn them against. And this is one reason why I wanted to speak on this tonight, so that we can see this and see what when I get to a part at the feast that this is going to all come together. But in Yekeska 35 verse 1, we're going to start there. It said, "Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir." Now Mount Seir is the inheritance of Esau or Edom. Okay, it is the inheritance of Edom, and Esau in itself, or what the scripture describes them as Edomites, and I'll bring out what the term Edomite means, because it's describing in this proper name something that a character or a movement that we are seeing today amongst these individuals who are being identified, and I'm going to identify for everyone tonight. But also, Yahweh wants us to be guarded against the spirit of Esau. Because, and when I get to a certain point in this, you're going to understand exactly what I'm saying. But Esau also, his name, in this proper name, it represents him as a hunter, a pursuer of men, one who ensnares, beguiles, sounds like someone else that we deeply got into, and that was Cush, who was identified in scripture as Nimrod, who was a hunter and a pursuer of men. And this is also what Esau was. Esau was the same way. He had the same dispensation as that of Cush. And he was a rebel. And we're going to see this. And this spirit, Yahweh wants us to identify, but there's certain things about this spirit that he wants us to understand. And he said, but Jacob was a learned man. Let me go back to Esau. He learned. The other thing was, outside of being an ensnarer and a beguiler, he was also learned in the art of war. But Jacob, his brother, was learned in all of the art of writing and prophecy. And that was the difference between these two. And also us today with these individuals who carry this spirit. And let's continue in Yekeska 35 for a little bit. And it says here, verse 2. It says, "Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it and say to it," this is what Father Yahweh says, "Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you most desolate. I will lay your cities waste, and you will be devastated. And you will know that I am Yahweh, because you have a perpetual hatred." Now notice this, because we're going to start identifying this spirit. "You have a perpetual hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by handing them over to the edge of the sword in the time of their calamity and in the time that their iniquity came to an end." Notice verse 6 here. "Therefore, as surely as I live, says Father Yahweh, I will prepare blood for you, and blood will pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood will pursue you." And quickly, to understand what it is that this judgment and that Yahweh says here. Now notice what Yahweh says here. He says that I will prepare blood for you, and blood will pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore, blood will pursue you. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to get into what Yahweh is talking about here. And this judgment that we ourselves have to preach, write, and speak about emphatically to warn those who possess this spirit against it. It's on page 496 in the book of Yahweh. It says, verse 10. It says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not agree with them. When they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us ambush some innocent victim without a cause, with no cost to us. Let us swallow them up alive, like the grave, and whole, like those that go down into the pit. We will take all manner of wealth. We will fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will have a common purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet out of their paths, for their feet rush to trouble as they make haste. Notice what he always says here. To shed blood, that is commit crime. And this is what Yahweh is trying to get across to us. What use is it to set a trap when the birds can see it? And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. And this is my point. What uses are these ones who want to ambush the righteous and ambush the work? What use is a trap when the birds? And remember one of the great King Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes. He said, be careful what you say in secret, when you think you're saying it in secret, because a bird might take that message and make it known to the ones that you are conspiring against. And this is what Yahweh warns us all of, because, and he warns us of the great prophet Habakkuk, warns of two different types of spirits and things that we're going to be dealing with in these last days. And that is, one of the things I saw in the code was, and I never could understand it at first, when he says it, be aware of the counsel of Absalom. And I went back and I started studying the counsel of Absalom, King David's son, that I started to understand that Yahweh just didn't want me to understand what took place. He wanted me to understand the motives behind the counsel and what the counsel was trying to do. And he said, you're going to experience this in these last days, son. And you got to have your mind and your heart ready, not to hate, but to protect the work. Because I'm going to protect you and I'm going to protect this work. But you got to be vigilant enough to stand and recognize all the cunning ways that these individuals will be using to try to undermine you. So beware of the counsel of Absalom, he says. The prophet Habakkuk tells us. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. Remember, we just read this in Yekeskin. It says that Yahweh said, therefore, I will prepare blood for you, and blood will pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood will pursue you. Notice, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They are only ambushing their own lives. And see, this is what is sad, is that they don't even realize that the pit that they're digging is the pit for themselves. Such is the way, the end of everyone who is greedy for ill-gotten gain. It takes the lives of those who possess it. And at the feast, I'm going to get into one of the laws that we are going to have to preach against the nations to show them how they are breaking this law now, and some of the agencies within the government. And It's going to be a shocker. Tell them to turn to Psalms 50. I won't speak about it right now, but I think you all are going to enjoy it greatly, and you're going to see how Yahweh's laws Yahweh is establishing through us for his rulership. And as he told King Nebuchadnezzar, I, Yahweh, rule in all the kingdoms of men. And the way he does this is when he establishes his laws, his precepts, and his judgments amongst men. And they realize that Yahweh's law is not old and outdated. It is able to guide all civilized nations today, as they say that the law can't do anymore. But it is our job to make the law magnified and show them that yes, it can. Psalms 50. And we're still talking about the spirit of Edom, of an Edomite or Esau. And it says, but to the wicked, chapter 50 of Psalms, verse 16. But to the wicked, Yahweh says, what right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Since you hate my instructions and have cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you consented with him. And all of this is going to make sense here. I mean, just pay attention. Yahweh's giving us this. We got to be on guard. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. And when you saw an adulterer, you participated with him or her. Your mouth is given up to evil, and your tongue weaves the web of deceit. You sit and you speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. Now think about Esau now and Edom, the Edomites that I'm talking about here. And all of this is going to start coming together and making sense here, because we're talking about the spirit of Edom and how we're going to be dealing with this spirit today, even amongst ourselves as people start coming in. These things you have done, but I held my peace and remained silent. You have imagined that I was just like yourself. For this, our Yahweh says, I will rebuke you and I will accuse you to your face. Oh, consider this now, you forgetters of Yahweh, for I will tear you to pieces and there will be none to deliver. None to deliver at that time period. Turn over to Genesis chapter 25. Real quick, and we're still talking about, and we're finna get into the spirit of Edom and what we Yahweh is trying to warn us against today. And this is going to make more sense as we get into this tonight. And I have to lay this presence down before the feast. Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to go to verse 26 through 28. Okay. Verse 26 says, after this, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Yaakov, that is, he who grabs the heel, he deceives, a subplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him, bore them, that is, Rebekah. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter. Get that now. He was a skillful hunter, that is, a hunter and a pursuer of men, just like Nimrod, a man of the field, that is, of the world, in all the ways of the world. But Yaakov was a quiet man staying among the tents. And go down to verse 31. Everyone knows this story, how we get the term Edom, which is red, and we'll get into that on another day. But Yaakov said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, behold, I'm about to die. So what shall this birthright be to me? Then Yaakov said, vow to me as it is this day. So he vowed to him and sold his birthright to Yaakov. And Yaakov gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. And then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. So Esau, notice this now, he despised the birthright. And at the feast, hopefully before Passover, I want to, Yahweh's willing, bring something that's going to bring the light this. And more and how it ties into the Passover and what the Passover is all about. And we're going to get into it at that time. But turn with me quickly to Amosha 9 real quick. And we're going to come back there. You can hold your place in Genesis there. Amosha 9. Verse 11, Amosha 9, verse 11, and that's on page 699 in the book of Yahweh. It says, in that day, which everyone understands this scripture now, this is key because this is telling us, this is something that we ourselves have to be prepared and ready for. Notice, in that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and repair its breaches. I will raise up its ruins and I will rebuild it as in the days of old. And I'm reading the scripture to show you that this is something that's going to occur in our generation, that they may possess, notice this now, the remnant of Edom, the remnant of Edom, and all the heathen who are called with my name, says Yahweh of hosts. Who does this now? Note on Edom. And in the footnote there, they say Edom today is Jordan. And we're going to identify who they are and prove something in scripture. Not only that, but also what Yahweh says you got to be aware of, because this is something that our forefathers have been dealing with. And with Shem, as I stated, that we're going to be still talking about the incumbency of Shem, that is, this holy peculiarity that Yahweh gave to him, that was always challenged by these ones who bore the characteristic and the spirit of Nimrod, the great rebel, that has always came down. And notice what it was always challenging now. They didn't want what the birthright, as we're going to get into at the feast, the birthright required of them. They despised it, every one of them, just like Esau. And I'm using Esau as an example, because this is how Yahweh brought it to me, so that we can see it, how it fits in today. But these ones always rejected the birthright, because the birthright came with certain requirements that they were not willing to fulfill. But Yahweh says, in his last days, we will possess a remnant of Edom. And all the heathens now who are called with my name, says Yahweh, who does this? Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, that the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, he who sows seed. And the mountain will drop sweet wine, and all the hills will melt. And I will bring back the captives of my people Israel, and they will build the waste cities and inhabit them. Notice this now. And then he shows you what we're going to do. And I will plant them upon their land, and they will no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, says Yahweh of hosts. But notice that this possession of the remnant of Edom, and along with this possession comes a certain spirit that is already working. And these individuals are coming. And we got to be ready to deal with this and be vigilant in protecting and guarding the word and working with these individuals. We can go back to Genesis. And we're going to go to Genesis 27, verse 28. We're going to start there. It says, therefore, may Yahweh give you, and this is in the blessings of Yaakov, of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. May peoples serve you, and the nations bow down to you. Be ruler over your brethren. Get this now. Be rulers over your brethren, which the Edomites are, as we're going to get into. And may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed is he who curses you, and blessed is he who blesses you. Then as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Yaakov had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And you know the rest of them. We're gonna skip down to verse 32. And it says, and his father asked and said to him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, who and where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I have blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a loud and bitter cry. And we're going to get into this because, like I said, all of this is going to tie into something about the Passover that, you know, I'm telling you, we're going to be in our hope and our pray to Yahweh that we fulfill what it is, and we will probably be the only ones in a long time period that will fulfill this in accordance to the law. And it will be a great honor in our sight if we do this and we do it correctly, the way Yahweh wants us to do it. And understand what it is going to do for us spiritually, that, you know, in bringing us to perfection. And he said, and then when when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came in deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Yaakov? For he has supplanted me these two times, which in Yaakov didn't. You know, this was not anything that was deceptive at all. And because the term that is being used for Yaakov doesn't fit this Yaakov, who Yahweh later named Israel, but it fits a person who will come in the last days, that I might dress very briefly at the feast and show certain things concerning this, because it's a very deep thing. He said, he took away my birthright. Get this now. The one that he despised now. And now, behold, he has taken away my blessing. Then Isaac answered Esau, indeed, I have made him your ruler. And remember, this is always challenging the incumbency of Shem, which rested in Yaakov. And this has always been the issue. You've seen it with Yosef. When this ability and this spirit of truth was placed in this individual, Yosef, his own brothers rose up against him from amongst his own brothers. And the spirit of Esau that I'm talking about tonight is what we got to guard our own selves against and guard the work against those who will possess this spirit, because they will possess it and they're going to possess it. And they're going to come in like grievous wolves, as the apostle said. And notice what he says. Indeed, I have made him your ruler. And all of his brothers I have given to him as servants. This is the same thing that Noah did when he pronounced a blessing on Shem. And he told Canaan and all of the Hamites that you are to be a servant. And I told you, this is not a slave. And we're going to get into this. You know, and it's just not saying that they should be slaves of Shem. It had nothing to do with slavery. It had them participating and recognizing the work that Yahweh had given to Shem and support that work. That's what it was all about. Serving and actually ministering in the work of Shem as a priest and serve in that work. And this is what it was all about. And help him to administer what Yahweh had given them to do. And with grain and wine, I have sustained him. And you know, this is the word of Yahweh. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to her, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me. And see, this is where we got to go. Bless me also. And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, and you know this, but notice down in verse 41, this is the key. It says here, but notice what, let me read verse 40, but notice what Isaac said to this son, but your sword, notice, remember I said it, even in Esau's name, it means he who learned the art of war, and his own father saw this in himself. Notice verse 40, by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. The same thing Noah said, because this has always been the problem, that they challenge the incumbency, the authority that Yahweh gives. And this is a dangerous thing, because the authority that Yahweh gives is to guide those individuals into life, peace, and righteousness. But somehow this gets into, and we're going to get what this passion is that gets into, and it got into every one of them, Cain, every one of them. But when you grow restless, notice this now, this is the key, you will throw his yoke from off of your neck. So Esau held a grudge. Notice this spirit now that Yahweh is telling us. Against Yaakov because of the blessings with which the father, his father, blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Yaakov. And you notice this is what King Solomon said himself in Proverbs 27. You can read it on your earth. He said, anger is cruel. Rage can be overwhelming, but who can withstand envy? Because when it gets inside of a person, it is the most destructive passion. And it was the mark that Yahweh put on Cain. And he said, what causes wars and fighting among you? Is it not the lust that battles in your members? We lust to have but do not have. And then he said, the spirit in man, what does it do? Yaakov said, it lusts to envy. And this is what, it has always been what causes the wars. And then Yaakov asked, what causes wars and fighting among you? And then he tells you what it is. It is this most destructive passion that we're talking about. And it blinds the mind and the heart from seeing Yahweh's way and becoming to perfection. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And it's the most dangerous thing that we got to guard against. Okay, turn back to Obadiah 1. And I think, take that back. Let me go to, skip over the verse, chapter 28. Okay, the same book in Genesis. I'm sorry, I want to establish something here. Verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, you should not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And then he tells him where to go and take this wife. And he did. And notice verse 3. And may Almighty Yahweh bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a multitude of peoples, and give you the blessings of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may, inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which Yahweh gave to Abraham. He gave to Abraham. Now, verse 6, Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and he sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, you should not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And Jacob had obeyed his father, and he went in. Verse 8, also Esau saw the daughters of Canaan, did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael. Now get this now. This is the key here. We're going to identify these people today. So Esau went to Ishmael, Abraham's son, and he took Bashemath, the sister of Nebaioth, which is in prophecy, to be his wife, in addition to the wives he already had. Just remember that, because I wanted to make that point. And we can go to Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 12. Obadiah, chapter 1. It's on page 701, and we're going to start in verse 11. No, I'll tell you what, let's go to verse 1. Let me establish this, that even Obadiah, the great prophet Obadiah, notice what he did here. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. This is what Father Yahweh says concerning Edom. Tidings we have heard from Yahweh, and a messenger has been sent amongst the heathen, saying, rise up, and let us rise against her to battle. For I have made you small among the heathen, and you are greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. Notice the spirit now. You who dwelled in the cliffs of the rocks. And remember, Yochanan spoke about these ones, the ones that will go and hide in the day of Yahweh's judgment, the great day of Yahweh. Where did Yahweh say they were hiding? In the cliffs of the rocks. And telling the rocks, these institutions that they have put their faith in today, international institutions that they have put their faith in today, and telling them to protect them from the great judgment of Yahweh. And this is the seed of Abraham now. This is still the seed of Abraham. Isaac's sons, as we just stated, these two boys are still the seed of Abraham, even Edom. And we got to identify them today. Because Yahweh did something back then that brings them and ties them to the Arabs today. And this is the key. And he says, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, who says in his heart, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you exalt yourself as high as an eagle, and though you set your nest amongst the stars, from there will I bring you down, says Yahweh. If thieves can come to you, if robbers during the night, how you will be laid waste? Will they only have stolen until they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to you, will they not leave some of the grapes for gleaning? Here's the key right here. And this is where I got the instructions to bring this to you tonight. Verse 6. How are the things of Esau, Edom, searched out? Notice now. How are his hidden things sought after? That is by the righteous, so that we may guard ourselves against this, and guard ourselves vigilantly to not allow it to prevent the work as it did once before. And notice what the footnote says over there in G5. He says, those that trust for help and friendships will be their enemies and destroy them. G6, your close friends and guests have secretly sought to destroy you. And Yahweh, this is, and notice what verse 6 says. How are the things of Esau, Edom, searched out? And how are the hidden things sought after? All the men, your allies, have forced you to the border. Listen to me now, when we get into this, this brings me almost to tears when you see this stuff coming to pass. All of the men, your allies, the people who you have put your trust in today, they are your enemies. And notice, they have forced you to the border. The men at peace with you have deceived you and have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have laid a trap under you, in whom is no understanding, Yahweh says. Will I not in that day, says Yahweh, destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding from the mountains of Esau? And go down to verse 10. For your violence, and we're going to get into this deep at the feast, against your brother Jacob, shame will cover you, and you will be cut off forever. In that day that you stood as an enemy, on that day when strangers carried away his army and foreigners entered in his gates and cast lots on Jerusalem, you were also one of them. But you shall not have gloated on the day of your brother and on the day he became a foreigner. You should not have rejoiced over the sons of Yada in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken arrogantly in their day of distress. You should not enter the gates of my people in the day of their calamity. You should not have looked with delight on their afflictions in the day of their calamity, nor have seized their wealth in the day of their calamity. Notice what Yahweh just keep repeating. The spirit that he wants us to guard against. And he says in verse 15, for the day of Yahweh is near upon all the heathen. Just as you have done, it will be done to you. Your reward will return upon your own head. And this is what they don't realize. Vengeance is Yahweh, and he will exact justice. Because you drank on my holy mountain, so will all the nations drink continuously. Yes, they will drink, they will swallow, and they will be as though they had never been ever. Get this now? Like they have never been. And this drinking that Yahweh is talking about, it's the cup of judgment. But upon Mount Zion will be deliverance, and there will be holiness, Yahweh says. And the house of Jacob will possess their inheritance. Get this now. No matter how much this spirit of Esau that gets inside of these individuals try to prevent this work, it will not stop this work. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us, and also we have the power of Yahweh of hosts, Sabaoth of hosts, and all of his armies who will be here for us. The house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Yosef a flame, but the house of Esau will be for stubble, and they will kindle in them and consume them. There will not be a survivor in the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken. Notice down in verse 21 here. And saviors, it is now, it is deliverers, will come up on Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. Now he's speaking to us now. And that's the reason why I'm bringing this. Because we have to identify what is this that we're going to be judging on the mountains of Esau. Because Esau had an inheritance amongst Abraham's children. And Yahweh warned Moshe when he brought him out of Egypt not to take one morsel or portion of land from Esau. But notice, and saviors, notice these now. These ones, and notice in G 14, Yahweh will raise up in his house rulers and governors in defense of his enemies. Under Yahshua Messiah, this is referring to as rulers and kings. Speaking of you, and come on now. This brings me to tears just to think about this. And he said, to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom at that time will be Yahweh's. And this is speaking of our generation here that Yahweh is telling us about. Let's turn back to Yekeska 35. And we're going to continue on. Yekeska 35. Yekeska 35. And we're going to go down to verse 10. And it says here, because you have said, these two nations, page 656, these two countries will be mine, and we will possess them, although Yahweh was there the whole time, as he promised to Shem that he will be there and he would dwell there. But you said that these two nations and these two countries, these lands will be mine, and we will possess them, although Yahweh was there. He is prophesied to be there. And we know in Yekeska calls it Yahweh Shema. Yahweh is there in fulfillment of the promise made to Shem, that he will permanently, that is his government, and his name will permanently dwell amongst the descendants of Shem. Therefore, okay, let's start. I'm going to go here. Therefore, verse 11, as surely as I live, says Father Yahweh, I will act according to your anger, and, notice now, according to your envy, and you have that you have displayed because of your hatred against them, that is, against Yaakov, the descendants of Yaakov. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged you. Turn over to real quickly to Isaiah. Let's see, I think that's 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Because I want to identify the individuals that we are going to be dealing with here. Notice verse 29 there. He said, do not rejoice, all of you of Philistine. Remember I said that these individuals describe the Palestinians as Philistines. But the prophets in themselves is not saying that the Palestinians today are the Philistines, the ancient Philistines. But this is a proper name, because you remember that the prophets could only identify certain behaviors, that they could see this behavior in the past and also in the future. So when they spoke, they said this, you know, they spoke of the individual who they had knowledge of, and they could see the same behavior. And this is why the proper names were given, to describe the events both in the past, present, and future, so that you can see who these individuals are and you can identify what their character and their dispensations will be. Do not rejoice, all of you of Philistine, because of the rod of him who struck you has broken, for out of the serpent's root will come forth an adder, and his offspring will be a fiery flying serpent. And look up to verse 31. Wail, O gate, cry, O city. And the city is Jerusalem, the same city that they're fighting over today. You, all the Philistine, are dissolved. For there is coming a smoke out of the north, and none will be a straggler in his appointed ranks. And let me read what this word, Philistia, means. And this is found in the Strong's Dictionary. You can look this up in Strong's, but also on page 677 in the Gesenius. This is the Hebrew word 6028. And this word means to wander or to immigrate. To wander without a certain abad. Because if you go back and study the history of the Philistines, which I won't get into the details of it now, but I want to show you so that you can see what Yahweh is trying to describe. He's describing a people that identified them with another group of people who migrated into the inheritance of Israel, which the Philistines, during Moshe, identified them. I spoke about this in the Madad, and we'll get to it, but I want to bring this out now. But these Philistines and Kephoritims, which converted, many of them converted to Yahweh, but these Philistines, Yahweh wants you to understand, is that the same ideology that these were the children of Mizraim who traveled and out of their own inheritance into the land of Israel, immigrated there. And Yahweh describing the same thing that is occurring today by the same character, the same event that has occurred today. To wander or immigrant, to wander without a certain abad. And to this day, the Palestinians are asking for a homeland, an abad. And they're still wondering because they have not settled into an abad. And this word means a stranger or a wanderer. And, you know, and the other number here is 6429. And it gives the scripture of Moshe 9, verse 7, which identifies these Philistines even more. But turn over to Isaiah 11, and I'll get deeper in this name, Philistine. The Philistines are today and how they correlate with the Palestinians today, not by descent, but by proper name. And what took place in the beginning, in the same ideology, in the fight that the Israelites had with the Philistines, are the same four within their inheritance. It's the same thing that's coming on, and the hatred. The spirit of Esau that is still amongst these individuals today. And we're still talking about this. Isaiah 11. And notice verse 14. He said, but they will fly down upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. That is the West Bank. And they will plunder. Notice who he is identifying them as now. Today. And they will plunder the people of the east together. And you know the children of the east are the Arabs, the children of Keturah and the children of Hagar. They were known as the children of the people of the east, and they're identified as that throughout the Holy Scriptures. And they are Arabs. And notice what he's saying. And they will plunder the people of the east. They will lay their hand on Edom. Get this now? Which is also next to them today, which is the modern day Jordan today, and Moab, and the children of Ammon will obey them. And notice he identifying, these are all proper names that we'll identify and we'll get into in scripture at the feast. Okay, that's Isaiah 11 verse 14, we identify that. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel 35 real quick, and then I'm going to skip to something, and I'm going to close out on this tonight. I just want to reiterate one more thing here in Ezekiel 35. Therefore, as surely as I live, says Father Yahweh, verse 11, it says, I will act according to your anger and according to your envy. Notice, you know, what he's describing, even in these last days, that this is exactly what is going on, which you have displayed because of your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged you. And you will know that I am Yahweh, and that I have heard all of your blasphemies, which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are desolate. They are given to us to consume. It is not the rhetoric today that even from Iran, that they say that that these individuals who Yahweh, and we'll get deep into who they are later, is that they should be wiped off the face of the earth. There should be no existence. And notice, I was talking about the spirit of Edom. And Yahweh is telling, he's not talking specifically of Edom or Esau, but he's talking about a group who possess this spirit. And it's there. And it's working amongst these individuals now. And that's why I warned them in the proposal. Listen, what is prophesied is going to come to pass. Brace the covenant and the judgments of Yahweh. And in this way, with your mouth, you have boasted against me. And I have have spoken against me without restraint. And notice what Yahweh says. And I have heard it. This is what Father Yahweh says. When the whole earth rejoices, I will make you desolate. Just as you rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do to you. You will be desolate, O mountain of Seir, and all of Edom, all of it, they will know that I am Yahweh. And notice Isaiah 34 real quickly. And you're going to see that Isaiah saw this too. Isaiah 34, all of the prophets were in unity. Isaiah 34. And notice page 550, Isaiah 34. Notice verse 1. Come near to hear, you nations. And listen, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is in it, the world, and all the things that come forth from it. For the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury is upon their armies. He has utterly destroyed, churned them. He has delivered them over to the slaughter. Notice verse 4. And all the hosts of heaven will be dissolved, and the heavens will be rolled together like a scroll. And Yahshua described this himself in his day. And their hosts will fall down, and the leaves fall as the leaves fall from a vine. Notice verse 5. For my sword, that is my judgment, will be bathed in heaven. Behold, it will come down upon Edom, that is Edom, and upon the people of my curse, that is all the people of his curse, as he shows in Isaiah the 10th chapter as well, to judgment. Notice what this is about. And this is what Yochanan saw in his day, when he saw all of the holy Malachim surrounding the throne of Yahweh. And they were saying, holy, holy, and true is Yahweh. And you have taken your great power and your reign, and your judgments are manifested. And because of this, righteousness now can dwell in the wilderness. It can dwell now in the wilderness, as is shown again by Isaiah. And he says here now, behold, it will come down upon Edom and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of Yahweh is filled with blood. And remember, we read this, that they pursue blood, so now blood is going to pursue them. And Yahweh is showing you here the same thing, that all of the prophets were in unity and saw this. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of the lambs and goats, with the fat from the kidneys of ram. Indeed, bazaar has been given to Yahweh. Notice, given to Yahweh in the land of Edom as a great slaughter. Notice verse 8. For it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance. That is, not vengeance, but retributive justice. And this is what this word vengeance means. And the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And we're going to get into what this word controversy means at the feast. And notice verse 16. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these things will be neglected, says Yahweh. For it is written, Yahweh is their shepherd, they shall not want, for his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. He has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it among them with a measuring line. That is what the term, that's what the word Madad means. It means a measuring line. This is the work, bro. This is our work. I'm telling you, notice. And Yahweh said, not one of these will be neglected. Yahweh has commanded it, it says. And his spirit has gathered them. That's you and I. His spirit is gathered. He has cast a lot for them, and his hand is divided among them with a measuring line. They will possess it forever. From generation to generation, they will dwell in it. I'm going to skip some of this, and I'll deal with it at the feast. Turn over to the last thing I want to talk about is Isaiah chapter 4. And I'm winding down on this. Isaiah chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. And it says here, in that day, okay, in that day, seven women will take hold of one man, saying, we will keep the feast, and we will provide our holy garments. And I don't want to get into this. It's not, you know, marrying or anything. You know, a lot of people get this mixed up with a man taking seven different women or whatever this is. These are just people who are zealous to be a part, keep the feast. And as one of the apostles, one of the prophets said, these are the ones, I think it was Moshe, who made that statement in his work. And I have to make this, even though, you know, we know what the law permits, but most time, this is taken out of context, and the true intent of what Yahweh wants done here is not ever realized. And that doesn't take away from anything. It just doesn't fit that. And this is when Yahweh, in other words, one of the prophets there, and I thought it was Moshe, but it's not, that actually states that at that day, these are the ones who long for the appointed feast, that Yahweh will bring them back, and the scripture probably will come to me and I'll get it to, but they long for the appointed feast, and we will provide our holy garments or garments. Only let us be called by your name to take away our shame of being unmarried. In that day will the branch of Yahweh, and get this now, because this is what I want to talk about today, is this branch of Yahweh here. In that day will the branch of Yahweh be beautiful, brought to prominence and glorious, promoted to honor, and the fruit of the earth will be excellent and commonly for those who have escaped to Israel. This word branch that is here is the number 6780, and it's from 4779. It means a sprout. Literally, it's speaking, it says a branch, but this word is not just speaking of a branch, because we know this is something, a branch is something that stems from a tree, and it is the extension of this tree, and it's the same thing as we'll get into feast, to where you notice that the seven lamp lampstand. You have the six branches off this seven lamp lampstand. Okay? All of this is showing you, here it is, it's a part of one complete shaft of gold, but it's connected to this shaft, and you're always trying to show us something. And because it's a pattern of not only what we're going to do here today on the earth, but it's a pattern of what we, of the heaven and in the kingdom of Yahweh, when we take rulership in the heavens. But anyway, but Yahweh wants us to understand that this branch, he wants you to understand what it represents. Just not something extending from a tree. And it is extending from a tree. And if one was thinking the form of a government, then we'll get into the deep of this. But this word means that which grew or will grow, will spring forth. It will sprout. It will grow. It will spring forth or up, it will bring forth, it will bud forth. Now, 67 in percentage on page 713 show this. This is the produce of Yahweh. And Dr. First, on the same word, page 1195, showed this word to sprout forth. It means fig. This is something to arise anew, to grow up, to prosper, to become strong. And then it gives you Isaiah 44, verse 4, and speaking of the seed, which we're going to talk about in depth at the feast. But in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, you can turn there. Now, the primitive root of this word is, and you can find this on page 435 of the Hebrew Tongue Restored by Fablo Olivet. And this word means that or which is strongly united. It is a mass. That is a mass. And that is united in an indissolvable bond. And this word bond means covenant. So you look the word up bond for yourself. This word bond means covenant. Now notice this. This branch that Yahweh said he will bring to prominence, and he will make beautiful and glorious and be promoted to honor, and he will escape to Israel. Notice what he said. It's describing this branch and what it is. It is that or something that is strongly united. A mass of individuals or people, a group of people, in an indissolvable bond, that is covenant, that they have agreed in themselves to make indissolvable. Now on page 432, this is Zakok, that which is clear, serene, radiant, that which is sane, upright, pure, true, clean, recidified, that which shines on account of its purity. And we're going to get into this at the feast, because this is what I want. Yahweh is strongly put on me in my spirit. And when I show this, it moved me in itself. And notice it's on page 432 and 433. You have the Hebrew word zav, which means every idea of an order that this branch has been given, of a command and a direction. Now, so this is now speaking of a branch that's coming off a tree, as we're going to get into, and we're going to realize is that every government has branches of itself. They call agencies. They branch off, and they're designed to. There are chapters, as they call them in the days of old, but they are agencies that branches off from the government, and they're able to administer certain aspects. And this is why Yahweh describes us, the house of Yahweh, that is the government, described as a tree of life. Because this government is representation of all life, because it gives life to everything that exists. It doesn't produce death, it produces life. And here it is, this tree of life, and Yahweh said, you are a branch of this tree. And I have assigned you, and I have gathered individuals to this in this branch. And your responsibility is to be united in an indissolvable covenant. And I got to make this clear. But Yahweh said, I'm going to make you sane. You're going to be upright. You're going to be pure. You're going to be true. There will be no falsehood. As we're going to read later, we might get into clean, that which shines on account of its purity. And here's the reason why, as I'm starting back over. On page 432 and 433 in the Hebrew Tongue Restored is where I'm reading this at. And this is all from the root word of the name branch, which is Zedek Mem Chet. And you can look these words up for yourself and see where I'm getting it. And here it is. It says 432. This word means every ideal of an order. Notice it's Yahweh now. And a command, a direction that is impressed by the prime mobile. And you look this word up for yourself, and you're going to see the prime mobile here is Yahweh. He is the mover of all things that exist in the universe. Look the word up for yourself. You see, prime mobile, it is a law. You remember in Zechariah, that's why I said turn to Zechariah chapter 6. But Zechariah is talking about this when he speaks about the ephod. In Zechariah chapter 5, and I'm going to stop right here and read this. And he says in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5, he said, then the Malach who was speaking with me came forward and said to me, lift up your eyes now and understand that which is sent by commandment. This is what has been sent by commandment. And I asked, what is it? And he said, this is the ephod, which is sent by Yahweh's law. Then he added, this is honor. Remember, I just read you this in Isaiah the 4, that this branch, Yahweh will promote it to honor. It will be prominent, glorious. And he says, this is honor, knowledge and understanding throughout the whole earth. Throughout the whole earth, Yahweh says. Okay, but this is something, this order, this command, is impressed by the prime mobile. And it is a law, an ordinance, an order, a command, which leads to an end. It is a precept or statute, or the teaching of precepts and statutes to the nations. It is a maxim of conduct. It is the action of ordering, directing, leading, and impressing a movement. Remember I told you always in Hebrew, when Yahweh describes something, it is all described as a movement. And this is not what we're promoting now. We're promoting a movement that is under the direction of Yahweh. And he says is, he identifies his work as a branch. Okay, that which attains an end, a finish, and will finish now. What the house of Yahweh has started, which encounters and finds the desired object. And notice this branch now, from the root word, the consonant there, Zedek, and it says a refuge, this root, this consonant means a refuge of man. This is what this branch would be. It represents the end towards which he tends, that is man. And then you have the Hebrew word, the character here that's in this name here, and I'm just reading you what they mean, is the principle of a vital aspiration. And notice this now, this aspiration that he's talking about here, and everyone who, you know, can see this, is what this word aspiration means. It is his labor, that which demands on his part, now, an effort, a care, and that's why I've been talking about tonight, and fatigue. It is the image of all equilibrium, equality, and the ideal of an effort and a labor of normal and legislative action. But it is the principle now. The principle of this branch is a vital aspiration. And you can look the word up and see this, where the word aspiration means. It means a strong desire to achieve something high or great. Notice, and this is the principle. Is it not what brought us all together? That brought us all together is to achieve one of the works that will go down as the greatest work in history to be accomplished. And notice, this is the principle of this branch. Is a vital aspiration, Yahweh says. Is a vital aspiration, which means a strong desire to achieve something high or great. And it's that which is exterior, of which acts exteriorly, that which leaves an order in leaves an ordering and ordering a limits, expresses beyond, outside. Notice this now. Leaving the ordinary limits that it was placed under, this work. And this is the reason why I said that we had to be cut out of the mountain. because this is what y'all were describing, that these ordinary limits that once limit this work from actually going out and achieving what it needed to achieve. Yahweh says now, he says it is an exterior, it that which is exterior, which acts exteriorly from something that it left, that which leaves an ordering limits and expresses beyond, outside, exterior of something now. And that which acts from the exterior, that is outside. And then is that which will grow. Get this now? It will grow. And Yahweh says it's going to grow. And that's the reason why I want to talk about it. We'll get into the song of the beloved. It is the sprouting forth of this branch that is prophesied. And you can see this in Isaiah 27, verse 5 through 6. You can read this to yourself. Also, Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 11, and verse 21. And I better read that one real quickly, because I think they're describing Isaiah 60, real quickly. Let me do that. 1 says here, arise. Remember, Yahweh said that this branch would shine forth. Shine. Wake up and be aware of who you are, Yahweh says. Arise and shine, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Wake up and be aware, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh. Remember, Yahweh said he will bring this branch to prominence, honor, and glory. And Yahweh is risen upon you. And he says here in verse 3, the Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And then in verse 5, he said, then you will see and shine forth, and your heart will be swelled with joy because the abundance of the sea, that is the people who will be converted, the nations, to you, and the forces, that is the resources and wealth of the nations, will come to you. And then he gave you the children that we talked about here, Kedar, Medan, Ephah, Naboth, where Esau married one of Naboth's sister, who is a daughter of Ishmael. And notice what they will do. They will send, they will bring all of these things into service. The very thing that Yahweh was commanding Cain to do with Abel, also with Canaan, with Shem, is to assist them in the service, in the position that Yahweh has set them to do as a priest, and bring the things that Yahweh set up under Moshe and told the children of Israel. Bring these things for the Levites and for the priests so they may minister to me. Help them in this service. And this is the service. This is the service that Yahweh wanted from all nations. He wants this from all nations. He wants all nations to recognize this. This is what he wants. He don't want so that these individuals are going to be totally occupied in the ministry of Yahweh and in the work of Yahweh. And he says, notice, they will ascend all of these things that these children of Ishmael will bring. They will ascend on my altar, verse 7, and I will glorify the house of my glory, which we know is the tabernacle of David there. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like the doves to their resting place? And notice verse 10, the sons of strangers will rebuild your walls. Now we're going to get into this. And their kings will serve you, for in my wrath I struck you, but in my compassion I will have mercy on you. Okay, look to verse 17. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. Notice, this has never been done before. Notice this now. Yahweh said they will bring iron, not stones, to build this house. But they would bring iron. And they never brought this before. This is the reason why. This is speaking to our generation. And I will also appoint peace as your officers and righteousness as your administrators. Notice we're still talking about this branch. And I'm going to prove this in a few minutes. Notice now. Notice down in verse 21 here. All of your people, notice now, will be righteous. They will inherit the land forever. Notice this now. The branch of my planting. The work of my hands. for this moves me. This is the work of my hands, says Yahweh. No, this is the branch of my planting. It is Yahweh who planted this branch. It is the work of my hands that I may be glorified. Notice, the little one will become a thousand, and a small one a mighty nation. And I am Yahweh. I'm Yahweh. In his time, I'm going to hasten this, he says. Everything that he just told you, he's going to hasten this. But there are things that has to develop first. And that's my point. And once he does, Yahweh will hasten this. And we got to be ready for it. We got to be ready for everything that's going to come our way. But we also got to believe this work. And, okay. One more scripture here. Go back to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7. And I'm going to end on this one right here, and I'll get into this on at the feast. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7. And notice this right here. And you can read this for yourself in Zechariah chapter 6 over there across the page. If you'll notice in verse 12, that Yahweh speaks of this branch again there. Before I go to back to Zechariah chapter 3, look over here to Zechariah chapter 6 right here, verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh the Host said. Behold, the man, and we're finna realize this is not one man. This is speaking of individuals here, whose name is the branch. And I'm finna show you something here. For he or they will branch out from his place, their place, And they will build the house of Yahweh. You get this now? They will branch out from something that was limiting them from doing this. An ordinary limitation that they were under. And Yahweh said, now I have to take them outside. And that's why I read you this word. Just like a branch grows outside or from the tree. And Yahweh makes it blossom and grow. And then all of these birds are coming and they'll come and rest on these branches or under this branch. And notice here now, and it will branch out and it will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, they will build the house of Yahweh and will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. You remember Jerusalem is Yahweh's throne. And he will be a priest upon the throne. And the council of peace will be between them both. Notice, the branch, get this now, and the council will be between this work. Is this and this word between, and we'll get into it at the feast and show you what he's trying to show us there, this word between. And we'll get into that at the feast. But go back to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7. This is what Yahweh of hosts says. If you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you will also rule my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you places to walk among those who stand by. These individuals who stand by. He says, now hear now, O Yahshua, the high priest, and your companions who sit before you. For they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And this word servant here is what I'm going to end on. And please look this up. It is from the Hebrew word 56, and from also 56:47. And it means a work. They translated this word servant. But this word servant is not speaking of an individual. This word means a work of any kind, services, tillage, a ministry. A service of Yahweh. Notice this now. In its fig, it is from 83:34, it means to contribute to and to minister. And a ministry or service in the house of Yahweh, and it means a ministry. Oh, I said one last scripture, And y'all can read these on your own. The Psalm 80, verse 15. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. And 33, verse 15. Notice, this service in the house of Yahweh is a ministry. And this is what this branch is. It is an extension of the house of Yahweh, a government. And you know, the house of Yahweh represents the government of peace and a kingdom and a government. And this branch, and when it says, these men, they are wondered at, that sit before you. Notice, speaking to a high priest here. And your companions who sit before you, that Yahshua can see. For they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my work, the branch. Not a servant, but a work. Because this is the one that has to branch off, just like any other agency of government, and a minister, and a certain aspect of a work. And this is why Yahweh says that this is the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, Yahweh says. And he's going to bring about certain things. And then he said, I'm going to bring this branch to prominence. And we'll get deeper into this at the feast on what this means. But all of these other scriptures, please connect them together. Because as we get to the feast, I don't have to go back and kind of reiterate. We can move forward and just kind of briefly go back to establish just certain points so we can move forward in this understanding that Yahweh is telling it, that he is the one that's directing and has commanded this work to be. And everything that we are experiencing now, and the process of it is a turning process that Yahweh wants us to, first of all, we have to believe. We have to believe in this work and understand what this work is and understand that you've been called there. It's a magnificent, as a matter of fact, the great prophet Habakkuk said that Yahweh will do a work in our day that if he told us, we will not believe it. And we can look around ourselves now, and you look at us as individuals, and most people will laugh and say, you talking about accomplishing this with what you got, a handful of y'all right now? But look what we're doing. But they don't understand that there's a powerful spirit that governs and guides and directs this work. It's not ourselves, but Yahweh don't need many to do this. But the great prophet Habakkuk saw us, and he said, they're going to do a work in the day. That if it was told to these individuals or any other individual, they would not believe what Yahweh is going to do. But he is going to accomplish it, brother. And we have to believe in ourselves that he has called us to do this work. And we might lay the groundwork. I haven't seen anything that speaks differently. And Yahweh may bring others to finish it. Who knows? Who cares? As long as we finish our course, as the Apostle Shaul said, you know, if I finish my course, who cares? It's time for me to rest and go on and pass the baton to somebody else that Yahweh has in store to do the work. As long as we do what Yahweh tells us to do now and finish the course that he has set for us, then we will bear the glory that these other generations, if it is Yahweh's will establish. But we will bear the glories of being the foundation builders, as I remember David Marotic said, calling us one time. And the ones that laid down the path and the way to achieve this. And with that, I'll turn this back over to Rafaya.